Matthew chapter 8 verses 1 to 4. Matthew chapter 8 verses 1 to 4. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. In our study of the Gospel of Matthew so far, we have been introduced to the person of Christ, the King, Matthew chapters 1 to 4. And then we looked at the principles of Christ the King in Matthew chapters 5 right up to chapter 7. And now we are ready for a glimpse of the power of Christ the King. The power of Christ the King is what we see in Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9. The power of a king to reign is as important as his credentials and his principles. God spoke through the prophet Hosea. God spoke through Hosea saying in Hosea chapter 1 verse 7, and I'm reading to you from the New Living Translation, Hosea chapter 1 verse 7, But I will show love to the people of Judah. I will free them for their enemies, not with weapons and armies or horses and charioteers, but by my power as the Lord their God. By my power as the Lord their God. In Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9, Matthew reports 10 miracles manifesting this power of God. And these miracles are not given in chronological order except for the last four miracles. Matthew followed his own approach of grouping messages and also events. And before we dive into the study of these miracles, we must ask the question, why did the Lord Jesus perform miracles? Why did the Lord Jesus perform miracles? Number one, Jesus certainly wanted to meet human needs. God is concerned about the temporal well-being of his creatures as well as their eternal happiness. And so it is wrong to separate ministry to the body and ministry to the soul. They must not and should not be separated. We must minister to the whole person. In Matthew chapter 4 verses 23 to 25 we read, Matthew 4 verses 23 to 25, And he went throughout all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. He responded to their plight. He saw human need, and he responded to their need. And he does so even today. He is unchanging. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Number two, why did Jesus do miracles? Certainly, the miracles of our Lord Jesus were additional credentials to prove his claim as the Messiah of Israel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, we read, The Jews require a sign. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22. Now, miracles of themselves are not proof that a man has been sent by God. We saw in our last study in Matthew chapter 7 that even Satan can perform powerful false signs and wonders like the magicians in Pharaoh's time in Egypt. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders. But certainly miracles do add weight to a person's claim, especially if the person's character and conduct are godly. In the case of our Lord Jesus Christ, his miracles also fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. In the book of Isaiah chapter 29 verses 18 to 19, Isaiah 29 verses 18 to 19, in that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah chapter 35 verses 4 to 6. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. In Matthew chapter 8, which we have begun to study, in Matthew chapter 8 verse 17, we find a reference to Isaiah 53 verse 4. Matthew 8, 17 refers to Isaiah 53 verse 4. Matthew 8, 17, I read to you from the New King James Version, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. In Isaiah 53 verse 4, again I read to you from the New King James Version, surely he has borne our griefs. Now that word griefs literally means sicknesses. Surely he has borne our griefs or sicknesses and carried our sorrows. Now the word sorrows means, actually in its literal meaning, it is pains. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten. That word means struck down. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten, or struck down by God and afflicted. Isaiah 53 verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus himself referred John the Baptist to the Old Testament prophecies, and he told John's disciples to go tell John what they have seen and heard. Prophetically, what they have seen and heard regarding the Messiah. Matthew chapter 11 verses 2 to 6. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Jesus also said that these same signs and wonders would be the credentials of his followers in their ministries. And that goes on even today. Matthew chapter 10 verse 8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verses 1 to 4 we read, Hebrews chapter 2 verses 1 to 4. Therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now, along with his compassion and credentials, there was a third reason for the miracles that Jesus did. The third reason is, Jesus was concerned about revealing saving truth to people. So the miracles were actually sermons in action. Remember what Jesus told the scribes when he healed the paralytic who was let down into the house through the roof that was open. Mark chapter 2 verses 5 to 12. Mark chapter 2 verses 5 to 12. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this. We never saw anything like this." Even Nicodemus the Pharisee, he was so impressed when he saw the miracles that Jesus did. John chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. John chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" Now, it is important to note that 5 of these miracles were performed at Capernaum, and yet the city of Capernaum rejected him. Matthew chapter 11 verses 21 to 24. "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you." Even the rejection by the nation of Israel fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. John chapter 12 verses 37 to 41. John chapter 12 verses 37 to 41. "Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, 'Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?' Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, 'He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them.' Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him." Like the judgments against Egypt in the time of Moses, the miracles of the Lord Jesus were like judgments in Israel, because the people had to face the facts and make decisions. They saw miracles right in front of their eyes, and therefore they had to make a decision regarding who Jesus is. But it was terrible. The religious leaders decided that Jesus was working for Satan. Just imagine that. Matthew chapter 9 verses 31 to 34. "But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. As they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke, and the crowds marveled, saying, 'Never was anything like this seen in Israel.' But the Pharisees said, 'He casts out demons by the prince of demons.'" Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 to 24. Matthew 12, verses 22 to 24. "Then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him, so that the man spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, 'Can this be the son of David?' But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons.'" This was blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, because they equated the work of God to the devil, which is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. One thing is certain. Jesus did not perform miracles to get a crowd. In fact, he usually avoided the crowd. Time after time, Jesus instructed those whom he had healed not to talk about it. Why? Because he was not doing miracles to catch a crowd. Matthew chapter 8 verse 4. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." After he healed the leper, this is what he told the leper. Jesus did not do miracles to get a crowd. In fact, at times he moved away from the crowds. Matthew chapter 8 verse 18. "Now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side." Matthew chapter 9 verses 28 to 31. "When he entered the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' They said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then he touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith be it done to you.' And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, 'See that no one knows about it.' But they went away and spread his fame through all that district." When Jesus healed the daughter of Jairus, we read in Luke chapter 8 verses 51 to 56. "And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him, except Peter and John and James, and the father and mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her, but he said, 'Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping.' And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, 'Child, arise.' And her spirit returned, and she got up at once, and he directed that something should be given her to eat, and her parents were amazed, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened." Jesus did not want people trusting him simply on the basis of a spectacular deed. John chapter 4, verses 46 to 54. "So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and at Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, 'Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe.' The official said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' Jesus said to him, 'Go, your son will live.' The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, 'Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him.' The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, 'Your son will live,' and he himself believed, and all his household." This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. A person can be healed miraculously by the power of God at work in his or her life, but physical healing does not guarantee salvation of the soul. The person must repent of his or her sins and turn to Christ, being regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God works through God's word, bringing regeneration, new birth into the person's life. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. I read to you from the New King James Version. Romans 10 verse 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. "Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God." Now, the miracles in chapter 8 and chapter 9 of the Gospel of Matthew, which we are about to study, these miracles are recorded in three groups. And each group is followed by an event relating to discipleship, separating the groups. Matthew did not tell his readers why he used this kind of an arrangement, but we will just follow his sequence. To help us grasp some of the spiritual lessons in these miracles, we could characterize each section with a special emphasis. And so here we observe, number one, we see grace to the outcasts. We find that in Matthew chapter 8 verses 1 to 22. In the miracles done there, we see grace to the outcasts. Then we see peace to the troubled, to those who are disturbed, peace to the troubled. Matthew chapter 8 verse 23, Matthew 8 verse 23 right up to Matthew chapter 9 verse 17. In the miracles that are done there, we see peace to the troubled. And then we see restoration to the shattered, to the broken. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 to 38. In the miracles done there, we find restoration to the shattered. Lepers, Gentiles, and women, they were considered outcasts by many Jewish people, especially the Pharisees. Many Pharisees would pray each morning, I give thanks that I am a man and not a woman, a Jew and not a Gentile, a free man and not a slave. It is in this culture, this context, that Jesus cleanses the leper. Matthew chapter 8 verses 1 to 4. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. There are a number of afflictions that our Bible categorizes as leprosy. And this dreadful infection forced the victim to live in isolation and to cry out, unclean, unclean. Wherever he went, he had to cry out loudly, unclean, unclean, when others approached, so they would not be defiled. So this is what he was told to do. He was commanded to do that, to cry out, unclean, unclean, so that other people would not be defiled. But this leper, you find that he violated the protocol of the day. He ran up to Jesus. He violated the code of crying out, unclean, unclean. And I believe this is evidence of his great faith that Jesus would heal him. Now, leprosy is an illustration of sin in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 1 verses 5 to 6. Why will you still be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it. But bruises and sores and raw wounds, they are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. Leprosy is an illustration of sin, which is described here in Isaiah chapter 1 verses 5 to 6. Sin is like leprosy, which is deeper than the skin. In fact, it will be good for us to read Leviticus chapter 13. Personally, in your time alone with God, please read Leviticus chapter 13. And there, the instructions are given to the priests in Leviticus chapter 13. And they will help us understand the nature of sin. Sin is like leprosy, which is deeper than the skin. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 3. And the priest shall examine the diseased area on the skin of his body, and if the hair in the diseased area is turned white, and the disease appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a case of leprous disease. When the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean. So, sin is like leprosy, which is deeper than the skin. Number two, sin like leprosy, it spreads. Leviticus chapter 13 verse 8. And the priest shall look, and if the eruption has spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous disease. Number three, sin like leprosy defiles and isolates the person. Sin like leprosy defiles and isolates the person. Leviticus chapter 13 verses 45 to 46. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So the lepers lived outside the camp of Israel. Number four, sin like leprosy defiles, and all that is defiled is fit only for the fire. Leviticus chapter 13 verse 52. And he shall burn the garment or the warp or the woof, the wool or the linen, or any article made of skin that is diseased. For it is a persistent leprous disease. It shall be burned in the fire. Leviticus chapter 13 verse 57. Leviticus 13:57. Then if it appears again in the garment, in the warp or the woof or in any article made of skin, it is spreading. You shall burn with fire whatever has the disease. Now when Jesus touched the leper, he contracted the leper's defilement, but he also conveyed his health to the leper. And this is what Jesus did for us on the cross when he was made sin for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, for our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now the leper whom Jesus healed, the leper did not question the ability of Jesus to heal. He only wondered if Jesus was willing to heal him. Matthew chapter 8 verse 2. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Certainly God is willing to heal and to save. He is God, our Savior and our healer. Matthew chapter 8 verse 3. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 3 and 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 3 and 4. This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God does not wish that any should perish. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Jesus commanded the man not to tell others, but to go to the priest and have the priest declare him as restored and fit for society, so that he could come back into the camp. This ceremony is described in Leviticus chapter 14. This is another beautiful picture of Christ's work for sinners. Leviticus chapter 14 is also a beautiful passage. This is a beautiful picture of Christ's work for sinners. Since the unclean leper was not permitted to enter the camp, the priest had to go outside the camp to minister to him or to her. Leviticus chapter 14 verse 3. And the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. Then if the case of leprous disease is healed in the leprous person. Jesus made it clear that he came to seek and to save the lost. We are the ones outside the camp. We were the ones living and drowning in sin. But he came for us. He saw us there and he came to save us. Luke chapter 19 verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. When our Lord Jesus ministered here on earth, he was called a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors and sinners were ridiculed by the Pharisees. Luke chapter 7 verse 34. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus compared himself to a doctor. He compared himself to a doctor helping the needy patients. Matthew chapter 9 verses 10 to 13. Matthew 9 verses 10 to 13. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus, our Lord, is God's great physician. Jesus makes house calls today, just as he did then. He makes house calls and he comes to sinners right where they are. He is knocking at the door of your house to meet your very need. In the case of the Jewish leper, the priest went to investigate and determine if indeed the victim was healed. But Jesus comes to us to heal. Whether it be our sickness or our sin, Jesus comes to make us whole. I am the God that healeth thee. By his wounds we are healed. He gives us wholeness in spirit, soul, and body. So Jesus comes to us to heal us, whether it be sickness or whether it be sin. Then according to the law, the victim offers two birds. Leviticus chapter 14 verses 4 to 7. The priest shall command them to take for him who is to be cleansed two live clean birds and cedar wood and scarlet yarn and hyssop. And the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel over fresh water. He shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop and dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird go into the open field. Now, birds do not belong to earthenware vessels. They do not belong to clay jars. They belong in the heavens. And Jesus came down from heaven and became a man. John chapter 3 verse 13. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. John chapter 3 verse 31. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. John chapter 6 verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 6 verse 42. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Coming back to Leviticus chapter 14, putting the bird into the jar pictures the incarnation when Christ took up a human body so that he might die for us. As it were, Jesus put himself into a clay jar so that he might die for our sins and our sicknesses. The bird slain pictures the death of Jesus. Leviticus chapter 14 verse 5. And the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel over fresh water. The bird released pictures the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Leviticus 14 verses 6 to 7. He shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop and dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water, and he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird go into the open field. When the blood-stained living bird was turned loose, it pictured the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Christ is as much a part of the gospel message as the death on the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 to 4. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. The running water over which the bird was killed reminds us of the Holy Spirit of God. John chapter 7 verses 37 to 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus offered himself to God through the eternal Spirit. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. In Leviticus chapter 14, the blood of the bird that was sacrificed was in the jar and on the living bird. But it also had to be applied. It had to be applied to the healed leper. And using the hyssop, the priest sprinkled the blood on the leper seven times, and the number seven symbolizes perfection. And then he pronounced the leper clean. Leviticus 14 verse 7. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird go into the open field. Now remember, the hyssop was used when the Passover was instituted at the exodus of Israel from Egypt, which signifies our exodus from sin. Exodus chapter 12, verse 22. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. Psalm 51, verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. The priest sprinkled the blood on the leper 7 times, and then he pronounced the leper clean. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Now let's look at Leviticus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And he shall kill the lamb in the place where they kill the sin offering and the burnt offering, in the place of the sanctuary. For the guilt offering, like the sin offering, belongs to the priest. It is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest shall put it on the lobe of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Again in Leviticus 14, verse 17. And some of the oil that remains in his hand, the priest shall put on the lobe of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on top of the blood of the guilt offering. Why all this? You see, the application of the blood of the sacrificial lamb to the ear, the thumb, and the toe illustrates the need for personal faith in the death of Jesus Christ. The oil on the blood reminds us of the Holy Spirit of God who enters the person when he or she trusts Christ as the Savior. Now coming back to the leper in Matthew chapter 8, verse 4, and Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. Now Mark gives us the response, this man's response, in Mark chapter 1, verses 44 to 45. And said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. The man did not obey Christ. He told everybody what the Lord had done. Christ tells us to tell everybody and we keep quiet. Mark chapter 1 verse 45 tells us that the healed leper's witness forced Jesus to avoid the city, and yet the crowds came to him. It says, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Now, how does all this apply to us today? I'm going to pray for you. You are probably going through a time of sickness or pain, mentally or emotionally, physically. You're probably going through a sickness now, or you know someone who is sick who needs a miracle, or probably you need a miracle yourself. Now remember that Jesus shed his blood on the cross to forgive you of your sins and to heal you of all your diseases. And he is knocking at your door this morning. Psalm 103 verses 2 and 3. Psalm 103 verses 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. So whether it be forgiveness of sin or healing of the body, it is Jesus Christ alone who can do this for us. So I want to pray for you. And as I pray, I want each of you to bow your heads, close your eyes, bow your heads, and seek the Lord. As I pray, I want you also to pray. And as I pray, in childlike trust, bring your need before God, whether it be sickness, whether it be a mental or an emotional problem that you're going through, or some kind of oppressive force of darkness that's troubling you. I am telling you that the Lord will meet you at your point of need, just as he met this leper who ran to him, throwing away all protocol, crying out to him for healing. So come to the Lord Jesus Christ with expectation this morning. And please expect him to work a miracle. Let me pray for you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us spend a few moments in worship. I will ask you all, as I worship the Lord, to also worship the Lord from your hearts, wherever you are now in your homes. Please worship in spirit and in truth. As I worship the Lord, I may worship in an unknown language. As I worship in the spirit, worship along with me in the language of your choice, in the spirit. And as we worship the Lord, we acknowledge his manifest presence amidst us. We are not seeing each other physically only through the Zoom. But remember, God's presence is everywhere. He is the Lord of the universe. And his manifest presence is amidst those, his people, amidst his people who gather together in worship and to seek him in prayer. And so, as I worship the Lord, please worship the Lord with me, and after which I will pray. And as I'm praying, please place your very need before the Lord, and he will hear. Come to him with expectation. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to thee, O Christ. Hallelujah. Haba, haba, banabanesira, rabarakalika sirabane. Yeshwana, bororabo, akirane sereraba, abolane, gororafraba, gorono, gorore serere, kororabana. Haba, banna, gororabanesi, akurana, bolri, kale sirabane, agurnabane, kele, kale farabono, yeshwana, borokanane, gerere sirabana. Ruak banna bani sir raba, ruakana bali sir rakku farvane, aborona galeri sir rakkurbo, abagiri kiran abalu sir bo, varakha sir banna. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to your holy name. Father, I pray, O gracious God, as your children are looking to you, as we seek your face, as we call upon you, you are the God who knows our needs even before we ask. Yes, Lord. Many of your children are going through pain. Oh Lord, in these perilous times, there is so much of pain, so much of sorrow, so much of sickness. Many are going through emotional, physical struggles, even mental chaos and confusion. But you are the God who sees all that is happening. And I ask, oh Lord God, that in your mercy, right now, you in your mercy, O Lord God, will stretch forth your nail-pierced hands. That you would stretch forth your nail-pierced hands and cause healing to take place. Lord, some are looking to you right now for a miracle. Desperately seeking a miracle. And you are the God of all miracles. And Lord God, you alone can do that miracle for the one who is crying out to you right now. Lord, I pray that you will touch the minds of people. I bind the oppressive forces of darkness. Every oppressive force of darkness, I rebuke you. You have no right over the children of God assembled here right now together. You have no right over the children of God. The minds of the children of God are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I rebuke you, therefore. Be gone in the name of Jesus. You have no authority over us. Thank you, Father. Release their minds from depression. Some are going through depression right now. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that spirit of depression. I command it to be gone in the name of Jesus. Flee from that person's life right now. In the name of Jesus, I command you to be gone. Some are struggling in pain, in a sickness which they cannot even express, cannot even share with other people, whatever that sickness is. In the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, I declare and decree you are made whole. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood shed on the cross. Thank you that by your wounds, your child is healed. Heal your child, Lord. Take that sickness away in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Barren wombs, you are crying out to God for children. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are the God who hears. There's nothing impossible for you. You are the God who gave Abraham and Sarah Isaac. In their old age, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly, much more than we can ever ask or think or even dream of. You are God Almighty. We trust in you. We come to you in expectation. Hear the cry of our hearts. Lord, the oppression in the lives of many, the oppressive force of darkness, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Be gone. You cannot touch God's children. You have no right over the children of God. We belong to Jesus Christ, bought by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your healing touch. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise the Lord together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your steadfast love which never ceases. Thank you for your mercies which never come to an end. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy goodness. Great is thy love towards your children, O Lord God. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit upon your children. Fill our hearts with your love. Rule our lives by thy word. Fill our cups. Cause us to overflow. O Lord, build your church as you have promised. I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Thank you, Father. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering prayer. Hallelujah to your holy name. All glory, all honor, all authority, majesty, power, dominion belongs to you and you alone. For you have said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Thank you, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.